Idam, certainly that. Yat, which. Griyamanai, in spite of chanting. Harinama, the holy name of the Lord. Deyai,
by concentration of the mind.
Na,
does not.
Vikriyata,
change.
Ata,
thus.
Yada,
when.
Vikara,
reaction.
Netre,
in the eyes.
Jalam,
tears.
Gatraruheshu,
at the pause.
Harshaha,
eruptions of ecstasy.
Translation. Actually, because we are taking this verse not in a sequence to the previous verse, we will give you a little idea in which summary this verse is spoken, so that this idea will embellish your relishment of this verse. This is called pure devotion of service, and in the preview of the second chapter, Srila Prabhupada says, the change of the heart. This is about changing the heart. In the previous chapters, a gradual process has been given how we can change the heart. First, hearing and chanting has been enumerated, and then meditation about Krishna in one's immediate surrounding, that is, the universe and the material gross forms, have been explained. The way it has been explained is that everything, even the clouds, the water, the this and the that, is a form of Krishna. This is a meditation for the materialists. Gradually the Brahman energy has been described. Then the Lord in the heart, the super soul meditations have been described, and now finally in this chapter, pure devotional service to Lord Krishna's personal Bhagavan aspect has been said. Now this verse is the conclusion of this change of the heart chapter, this last chapter, and it is highlighted in the Bhakti Sandavas by Jiva Goswami as the most important description of what happens in spiritual life. A transformation of the heart. Now we will enter this wonderful verse. Translation. Certainly that heart is steel-framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. Prabhupada starts his purport in a way, but because this verse, this purport is so long, and there is a chronical disease of sleepiness in the Bhagavatam class, I will give you the most essential parts, which I will highlight your attention. Translation. Purport. We should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. And then Prabhupada goes directly to this verse. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Please note two things we are looking for in the change of heart: a detachment from material things, and an attachment, an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vidhi Bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands and the legs, as already explained here before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties, and if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead. Now Srila Prabhupada will give us an insight what is when we are not ecstatic while performing this. If the reaction does not take place even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only. This is the opinion of the Sandharva. In the beginning of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on end. Then Srila Prabhupada talks about how this is described in Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, translated as Nectar of Devotion, and he also talks about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's critical discussion of the artificial symptoms. Like yesterday, some of us went into medieval Italy where a stage set was made of an actor crying like St. Francisco's of Assisi. This actor is a sinful man, and these tears were false. So this is critically observed. And then it goes to Lord Chaitanya's meeting with Ramananda Roy. When Lord Chaitanya met Srila Ramananda Roy at Kavur on the bank of the Godavari, the Lord developed all these symptoms. But because of the presence of some non-devotee brahmanas who were attendants of the Rai, the Lord suppressed these symptoms. So sometimes they are not visible even in the body of the first-class devotee for certain circumstantial reasons. Therefore, real steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desires, chanti, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, avyata kalatvam, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly, namagana sadaruchi, attraction for living in the land of the Lord, pritistat vasatistale, complete detachment from material happiness, virakti, and pridelessness, mana shunyata, one who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the bhava stage, as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitator or mundane devotee.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheta Shunyavadi Bhaskajare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Dashmasharam Hridayam Vatedam Yadgriyamana Harinamadeya Navikriyata Tayadavikado Netre Jalam Gatra Ruhe Shuhasham. Translation: certainly that heart is steel framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. In this telling verse, we find a very important focus on what is the essence of sadhana or spiritual practice. The essence of spiritual practice is the change of the mind or the heart. And it is described what this change is supposed to affect. In my own words, a self-centered egoist, when the transformation works, becomes a loving servant. This is a tremendous transformation which only will happen by an internal change, not an external change. In Krishna consciousness, we are immediately entering an external change by entering this beautiful spiritual culture and sadhana program. We are going through a change in dress, a change in hairstyle, a change in linguistics. Instead of hello, we greet each other with Haribol. It is a very visible, distinct change where a devotee is sometimes seen as entering from one particular cultural milieu into another. My own biological father was once confronting my spiritual father with an objection to this change. He said, "You are trying to introduce a foreign culture in Germany. This will not work. It is like bringing a crocodile from the river Nile in Egypt into the river Elbe, that's near a river going through Hamburg, will not work. It will die, the crocodile." Prabhupada said, in a simple Prabhupada way, preachy way, how Krishna consciousness is not an external but an internal change. In fact, the externals don't matter as much as the internal change. He said, "You can become Krishna consciousness in tie and suit." In other words, the culture, the external change is not the point. The point is the consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was sometimes, most of the time, very, very enthusiastic about his disciples. He would tell things that they are pure devotees and so on. He was proud, like a loving father. But there were times, and Srila Satsvarup Maharaj has written about this in a book, there were times, especially in the later section where, of Prabhupada's preaching, where he was not so enthusiastic, because he mentioned he observed that the change of heart had not always taken place. He would say things in a way expressing chastisement. You Westerners are only good for sex and quarreling. This he said, and he was not pleased, obviously, about that the change of heart had not taken place the way it is meant to take place. Srila Sanatana Goswami describes this change and transformation. He says, by the process of diksha, a person who has sutra qualities can become a brahmana, and he compared it with a process, just like bell metal can become gold. Now, let us for a moment enter this analogy to understand how difficult and challenging transformation really is. For bell metal to become gold, a transformation needs to take effect on the deepest conceivable physical level, that is the atomic level. The atoms would have to be restructured so that bell metal turns into gold. It's something where a huge, to move atoms out of place, is a huge energy is required to do this. You could paint bell metal golden and make an external change, but only one Radadesh winter would suffice to wash the golden paint away from that bell metal and show that the transformation has not been going on. In fact, that you have cheated. This is not gold. It is the winter had eroded the golden color, and it is still bell metal. Because many of you are from communications departments and inclined to intellectual and historical considerations, I will invite you to go with me into European mysticism for a moment, so that this example of transformation is highlighted further. In Europe, there was a group of mystics who were known as alchemists. They became known to the public by their attempt to change copper into gold by an alchemistic process. The public thought they are greedy for gold, but that was not the mission of the alchemists. According to my information, they were not successful. According to others' information, they were. I do not know. But the point of them was not to get cheaply gold. The point was that by showing how or discovering the principles which were working to transform ordinary copper into gold, they were hoping to also discover the mystical principles which were required to change the heart and transform the whole character. It was a mystical direction, and this mystical direction had adherence also in Arabia, where an Arabic school of alchemists was working on these things, in Persia as well. The purpose was transformation. It's not an easy thing. It is quite difficult. It is quite taxing. A lot of energy has to be discovered to do this. And the scripture abounds with examples of failure. You find in the Bhagavatam the unsuccessful attempt of Sobari Muni for transformation of the heart. He was a mystic. He wanted to meditate in a totally disturbance-free environment, and therefore by his mystic potency entered the Yamuna River and stayed on the bottom of the river. Those who are divers, were divers amongst us, know it is very peaceful in the ocean or when you go deep into the water. So he was meditating there to not have any disturbance. But then a fish couple, Hare Krishna, very romantic. a fish couple started to copulate, this is an English word, before him. And Sobari Muni, in a moment where his eyes were not closed, looked at this. And as he looked at the romantic pleasures of the fish couple, old sanskaras became awoken, and he became lusty himself. Now, an agitated mind cannot perform yoga. Patanjali explains that the yoga aims at calming the vrittis, the waves of the mind. So he couldn't maintain his posture and his situation, and dived up to the bank of the on the surface of the Yamuna, and thought, I must do something about this now. And he subsequently married 50 well-established ladies. They were wealthy. They were daughters of a king. Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Only at the very end of this unfortunate story, Sobari Muni, by the mercy of the Lord Hrishikesha, could get back on his original course and become Krishna conscious. He even preached to his 50 wives. The history abounds with stories of failure when one wants to transform the heart. Origenes, one of the church fathers, is seen to even mutilate his distinctive features of being a man because he could not control the lusty emotions. Our Hare Krishna movement, which has been sympathetically called the international attempt to become Krishna conscious, is abounding of stories of devotees who tried at the best, with their best intention, to transform the heart, who even took to the sacred order of sannyas, but who found themselves in a helpless position and out of desperation took an inglorious cause for which they were severely criticized by the other members, who subsequently also went into this direction. It is a very, very difficult thing to transform the heart, and it requires maturity to address this point. An immature way of addressing would be to totally blast those who have failed. History, many fail, and the question which is now put before you is, how is it possible? Or is it possible? Is it maybe not possible, and should we all dissolve today and say this was a good attempt, but it doesn't work? To change copper into gold, I mean, how will this work with me? I'm an ordinary man. An ordinary woman. I'm like, look at my parents. I have the same genetic codes in me. This is an important question. Here comes an attempt to answer this question by the Bhagavatam speaker. However, you are very much encouraged to pursue this subject outside of this class and ask senior devotees what they think. I go to examples where the transformation has happened to some degree, and read Prabhupada's books, find out clues how to do it. It will require a spiritual scientist to transform his heart. A very sincere investigation will be necessary, and a sincere practice more than anything. Now, if we look at the position of the soul within the world, we have to come to an understanding that it's a pure soul in an impure atmosphere. This atmosphere is not only outside of our thinking, but also inside our mind. In the ninth chapter of Gita, text 34, it's the Apichet Sudaracharo verse, Srila Prabhupada says that we have two natures, one constitutional nature and one conditional nature. The constitutional nature is the soul, Sachit Ananda Vigraha, and the conditioned nature is composed of the five gross and the three subtle material elements. The problem is not in the constitutional nature, the problem is in the conditional nature, which covers the constitutional nature. Now, this conditional nature, you know, with the mind and the ego, where all these foreign influences take place, is an energy of the Supreme Lord. Who can change the energy? The energy can be changed by the source of the energy. For instance, when we are with our stage equipment preaching, there is a switch where you can manipulate the supply of electricity to the to certain things which you need for the show to go on. And the energy works differently. The energy source, electricity, can change the electricity. The sun can change its rays. The Lord, who is the energy of this material world, the energy source of this world, can change the world or the energy. He can do it. We cannot do it. The energy source can change the energy. So the Lord can do the transformation, and by His mercy it is possible. I wish to give you, because this is a very important point, which is not really intelligible or known to the many spiritual practitioners who are here. I want to give you an example. The sun can take care of the darkness and transform the darkness. Only the sun can do it. Once there was a Patel family in Gujarat who saw that each evening the darkness was sneaking into the house like an unwanted thief who took the enjoyment of the day away. They decided to no longer tolerate this, but they forgot the sun. They took sticks in their hands, spades, guarded the entrance, the windows, and the doors of the house very scrupulously so that the darkness could not enter. Then one of the Patels went inside to fetch a glass of water. When he was inside, he screamed out, "Come, come, fast! The thief has entered!" Because it is earlier dark in the house than outside of the house, as you might have observed. So they were all running in with their sticks, and they began to beat into the air. It turned later and later. Then, I believe around 11 o'clock, The first Patel began to scream. The darkness has beaten back. In the morning, all the Patels were covered with tremendous battle marks. But they were proud because the darkness receded, and at 8 o'clock it was gone. We, the Patel family, have... beaten out the darkness. How surprised they were that in the evening it was again back. They had made their calculation really without the sun, who can change the darkness. How much the light can change the darkness, dear devotees, we could have a dark room here, everything we could darken. If we would open only one window a little bit and it's, the sun is up, the whole room would become lightful. But it never would work the other way around. The room is bright and we are surrounded with a world of darkness. The darkness would never overpower the brightness of the light in the room by our bulbs and candles. It does not happen this way around. Light is always victorious over the darkness. Even if darkness is in the majority, light will remain victorious. So in the same way, Krishna is always victorious over nations. We must only learn how to invite Krishna in the heart. Srila Prabhupada gives us the process, which is the sadhana of the Hare Krishna movement, which is a distinct feature of our tradition. It is chanting the holy names of the Lord free of offenses. If we do so, then, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, the name will for us no longer remain just an HREAKRSNA, that means an arrangement of alphabetic letters. No, the name will reveal first the form, then the attributes, like Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala of Krishna. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, very merciful and extremely partial to his devotees, and finally even the Leelas. To give you an example, please look at this rose. When it is in the budding state, the rose does not show smell and colors. Only if it is finally opening up, the fragrance comes and the colors come. In the same way, the holy name will open up, so to say, to us, so that we will perceive finally Krishna. I want to shock you a little bit in your intellectual department for a moment. Do you know that there is not one Krishna? Do you know that there are really two Krishnas? Krishna, the form, Krishna as his holy name. For us, at the conditioned state, these are two. But when we become transformed in the heart, in our realization, we will realize the secret that Krishna, the name Krishna, is totally identical, Purna Bhagavan, with the form of Krishna. That is a realization which is meant to come. We are meant to become servants of the holy name, approaching the name in the service attitude. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. And then, when we chant in this way, please engage me in your service, or as Prabhupada once said, please accept me. He's addressing the name, who is Krishna? Please accept me. Then a transformation can take place. It is an open secret, as Prabhupada told us. If you go through the effort of studying Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's letters to some of his disciples, he used to say such words as, the holy name will show you your form and you will see Krishna. He used to say, then when you chant the Hare Krishna, Krishna comes in your heart. There is no distinction between the name and Krishna. This is a very important theological fact. Of course, when I said there is two Krishnas, you understood, there is only one Krishna. Only for us, sometimes we think there are two Krishnas. Rupa Goswami said, there is the name and the form, and of the two, the name is even more merciful than the form. Yes. Hare Krishna. Now, this chanting, this help by Krishna to transform our heart needs, of course, also a little endeavor. We need to chant without offenses. That's an endeavor on our part. This little endeavor we must make, and then Krishna in his mercy comes and effects the transformation, which is where the nuclear powers are required in a spiritual sense. We won't be able to do that. And that is up to Krishna to change. So that you become more interested in this subject, I will read you a little bit from the two verses from the Gopinath prayers. Here the author writes, "O Gopinath, I am certainly very foolish, and I have never known what is good for me. Therefore such is my condition. O Gopinath, you are indeed the wisest person, Pandita Bara, the best of the Pandits. Please look for a way to bring about auspiciousness for this fool, and please do not consider the servant as an outsider." In the last verses, he says, "Gopinath Haraye Mene Chiyami. O Gopinath, I have accepted my defeat. I am defeated. All of my various endeavors were useless. I have not reached the goal. Now you are the only hope. How shall I make any advancement when my mind has come under the control of the powerful senses?" You know the schizophrenic thing? We want Krishna consciousness, but if we see, there is a large enjoyment faculty in us who makes plans to go in the material side. So my mind is not under the control of what I want. It's under the control of the powerful senses. Now, how shall I make advancement? Then he says, the last solution, "O Gopinath, after sitting down in the core of my heart and subduing my mind, please take me to you. In this way, the horrible dangers of this world will disappear." Then, so nice. "Gopinath anata dekhiya mora. Tumi Hrishikesha Hrishikadamiya Tarehe Sanskrita Gore." O Gopinath, you are Hrishikesh, the Lord of the senses. Seeing me so helpless, please control these senses of mine and deliver me from this dark and perilous worldly existence. Hare Krishna. So this is a very, very nice subject matter. We wish to have this type of transformation in the heart. A success story is Bilva Mangala Thakur. We will tell the lesser known part of his life. The known part is that he was a spiritually minded, cultured man, but he was so possessed by the desires to enjoy a lustful relationship with a prostitute, that on the day of the death of his father, when he was there at the cremation pyre, he felt the urge and went to Chintamani. He overcame so many obstacles and ripped by thorns, bitten by wolves, he stood before Chintamani when she opened the door. Chintamani looked at him and said, "What do you want?" "Enjoyment," he said. Then she said to him, "My dear Bilva Mangala, if you would use the same determination which you use for this material sense enjoyment to become self-realized, you would be self-realized by now." This was a striking sense in the Bilva Mangala, and he went on a journey to Vrindavan. He became a monk. He dressed as of this, but this was still external. His heart had not changed. And when he came into the association of a beautiful woman in the mood of a beggar, he begged for sex. The Grihastha said, it's an unusual gift, but the sadhus, they are often beyond logic and reason. The irrational element is there. And he told his wife to get ready for the act. Then in the last moment, he could get his breaks and said, I'm very sorry. And he mutilated himself, his eyes in this case. He said, "These eyes always are seeing the forms, and I get lusty." He did something like Origenus, and many have done before. But this is not the way. He got the idea to go to Vrindavan, fortunately, and he went to Vrindavan, and he started to sing and praise Krishna. Then Krishna appeared before him and took him to Vrindavan. Said in Vrindavan, he regularly sat when Bilva Mangala read and sung his composition, the Krishna Kanamrita. At the end, Krishna asked him, "What do you want?" And Bilva Mangala said, "I know you are someone. You must be Krishna." He was blind at that time. "So just let me see your Leela only once." Then Krishna revealed him his beautiful darshan, which he could see with a spiritual mind, spiritual senses. Yes? Then Bilva Mangala Thakur said, "Oh my Lord, I have done a great offense by comparing your beauty with the moon. You are much more beautiful." When the moon heard this, he said, "I'm in a very inappropriate poetic position. I'm compared to the beauty of the Lord, but I'm so ugly." And he fell down from the sky. He broke into 10 pieces and took shelter at Krishna's toenails. This is why the moon, the 10 of the moons are in Krishna's toenails. And then Krishna finally, Bilva Mangala was ready. He was transformed. Finally, Krishna took him back to the spiritual kingdom of the Lord. So this transformation of the heart is important. Here, there are external symptoms of the transformations, which can be imitated, like trembling, perspiration, unconsciousness, and so on and so forth. But they are the real things which we look for. And here, Prabhupada is given a general, and now he will give a specific description. The real steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desires. Prabhupada once said, if you want to see how advanced you are, see how much lust you have in your heart. Look in there. This is the first symptom, cessation of material desires. Then, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Do you notice that we have such devotees in our movement? Who are very nice like this? Anyata kaladvang, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly. Nama gana sadaruchi, they like to chant. It's not a torture, it's a like. Attraction for living in the land of the Lord. You know, they like to either go to Vrindavan or remember Vrindavan and Mayapur. Complete detachment from material happiness, virakti, and pridelessness. We have such devotees, mana shunyata. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the bhava stage. Now, I'm not advocating we should take a crash course in bhava. Okay, we will now make a bhava course and then we all get bhava. No, it will not work like this. This is a gift of the Lord. A transformation, it comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from our hallucinatory mental capacities. What we can do is to take a note of this point, to associate with Krishna in the form which is realistically possible, that is in the form of the holy name, which we approach in a non-offensive way. From there, all will come, as you have seen from this purport. Yes. The clock has been shown to me, the wristwatch has been shown to me. I also think that the subject matter was crystal clear. We must transform our heart, and there is a way to do it. And now it's up to you to apply this in practice. This is not a matter of much questioning. You have to question yourself why you do it and not do it. This is some work in your own bureau. Excuse me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Chai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.